It was of the utmost importance that we should find this fruit would yield large and abundant returns in a manner and form which could change the way and manner of life for one or many individuals, not in some fanatical and unrealistic pursuit of some miasmic or mesmeric form or some cultism which leads a person down the primrose trail to oblivion, but real transforming elements in this person's life which would not only dissolve the confusion in his mind but actually clear away his physical difficulties as they existed in the body. Such fruit is indeed hard to find, and again, a close examination of our various religious systems in the world will find the ground is very sterile and barren. There are few, if any, trees which bear fruit. Yes, we can include even such particular evangelistic movements which are supposed to have had great healing influences upon certain particular thousands of adherents who have clung tenaciously to the skirts and robes of these factions. They have hung up their crutches and braces in the foyer of the temple wherein they worshipped at this false idol, when the truth of the matter was that here again they found only a certain conjunction of energy relationships which started a ringing action and a direct rapport into the higher psychic centers which enabled those persons to remove themselves from the obsessive relationships of karmic experiences. It should always be remembered when following one of these fanatics and so-called faith healers, that while you are looking hypnotically into his eyes, he will quite likely have his hand in your pocket while he is so mesmerizing the intent and purpose of your life. Thus you can be completely diverted from the natural and constructive evolution in your progress. Nor can we fail to consider the practitioners as they are concerned in the various cults and religious systems. They are practicing their so-called healing arts at great expense to the public, for we shall find them also in doctors' offices here and there and wherever we go in this world about us. In this sense of the word, it can be said that this is an outgrowth of the natural desire of every man to dominate another. The old law of the survival of the fittest, as posed by Darwin, has been in a sense greatly overworked and has gone far beyond the bounds from which it was originally intended by the infinite Creator, to substantiate or to increase the propensities of some particular species of animal life. When it begins to involve propensities which can be considered vampirish in nature, that is, preying upon the souls of our fellow men, then we must of course draw the line. The astral underworlds are full of the adherents of these religious fanatics. Each in turn is, in common relationship, trying very diligently in any manner and form to perpetuate his false fanaticism in whatever way and manner he can into the material world. It can be said at this time, the fanatic is very easy to recognize. The first criterion is of course, to closely examine his life and that of his adherents, and if there is any real and constructive fruit which has been borne, then it could be said that this fanatic has at least some virtue in his expression. However, with a true fanatic, such virtue is extremely rare and difficult to find and lies, whenever so found, within the very nature and virtue of the adherents themselves. Many of his followers may be people who are more advanced spiritually or, at least not so preconditioned and deviated with escape mechanisms and have still been able to reach through these miasmic energy forms and maintain some sort of a constructive relationship with their higher self, thus correcting their own difficulties, and the practitioner or the fanatic usually gets the credit. A second valuation of all such diverse components of humanitarian efforts can be analyzed on the basis of constructive, intelligent progression, not only in the various values of the reactionary life in which man finds himself, but especially into such spiritual values as are so strangely missing from the numerous pantheologies as they exist today. While man is basically and essentially a spiritual creation and always functions from a spiritual plane of relationship, yet this in itself is the greatest of all paradoxes, for by far, the greatest number of people who swarm the face of the earth do not seem to know the first rudimentary equivalents of this progressive cycle which is called life. Here again we have found reversions and sterilizations in spiritual principles among our so-called Christians, for the very pagans they try to teach are quite often further advanced in their knowledge of the spiritual worlds than the Christians who are supposedly bringing them the new and only gospel. So, then you may ask, how is humanity to be changed in this particular time and place? Are we all headed down that trail and over the precipice to oblivion? Are any of the other various and sundry fears and calamities, atomic explosions and worldwide destructions, to be realized, or shall the old prophecies of the Bible such as are contained in the Epistle of Peter, come to pass? These things should not be answered with a yes or a no, because any particular position in which an individual finds himself so contained collectively regarding the masses of people about him, represents a very definite point on his scale of evolution. Chapter 7. One thing which all people have in common is an abnormal sense or fear of death, and here again is the strange paradox, for in the sleeping and waking state, man dies and relives at least once every 24 hours. Yet, the word death, which is actually only a Latin word meaning change, strikes terror into the heart of the materialist. Even the religionist who inhabits the church is filled with dreads, fears and vagaries. No one seems to be at that particular point in his expression of life where he can see the continuity of expression as he so lives it at any particular moment, for he is directly connected through frequency relationship with at least 1,000 lifetimes lived in the past. He has discarded his body at various intervals, as it is connected with that particular life, to be reborn and again live in the future in almost the identical circumstances, following the same thought patterns and obeying the same psychic impulses as motivated him in his former lives. To study statistics as they present themselves in this present-day modern world, does indeed give everyone a sense of dread or foreboding. When we can study the high rate of incidence in the various hospitals, asylums and, in particular, the mental status quo of John Q. Citizen as he inhabits our civilized world today, these statistics do indeed indicate grave conditions. As in all cases and in normal sequences, evolution can always be largely envisioned as a progressive cycle, but understanding the structural qualities, the movement of these cyclic forms and the energy forms from which they are so constructed, you are immediately reminded that here again is our common equivalent in polarity patterns. There is always a positive and a negative. We must also resort back into history and find man has always lived, to some degree, in these cyclic patterns of progression and retrogression. For instance, for about 1,500 years the people of the Eastern world throughout Europe lived under a completely false doctrine of physiology as it was first instigated by a man called Galen, who lived at the beginning of the Christian era. Galen did not know about the circulation of the blood or about various other functions of the anatomy, yet people often died as a direct result of opposing these false doctrines. In the Middle Ages of Europe, there appeared a complete revision of these false principles of anatomy as they were thus supposed to exist. As a result of the pursuits of certain dedicated souls, through dissection, a vast knowledge of anatomy was finally brought into existence, often at the expense of the lives of these various devoted exponents of medical truth as they found it in their various explorations. Therefore, we cannot presuppose at this time that any medical system as it presently exists can solve any or all of the differences in the physical world in which we find ourselves. Today, medical science is struggling in a maze of paradoxes, just as is every other particular faction existing on the face of the earth. To an almost total degree, medical science does not have a complete answer for either the true cause or the originating source of many of the hundreds of incurable diseases with which it is presently confronted. Medical science is therefore, at least for the present, relegated to a highly developed system of physical diagnoses, and the removal of certain offending organs or portions of the body which have broken down because of numerous and varied psychic pressures from the past. The equivalent of medical science, our modern psychiatry, is also singularly devoid of any spiritual values which relate man either to his higher self or to his past lives. Freud completely divested mankind of his so-called instincts, with the exception of one, which is sex. Carl Jung added, and very boldly, a second, which is gregarity. Yet neither one of these psychologists knew what an instinct was, simply because they had not related, at least publicly, any knowledge which they may have inwardly known, relating man to his past lives. Actually, in a sense, there is no such thing as an instinct. An instinct, in itself, is merely an energy wave form which is stemming constantly in an oscillating manner out from the psychic body and which is, in its vortical pattern, formed there in a former lifetime or in a number of former lifetimes. Thus medical and psychiatric sciences, as they exist today, do not have the solution to the so-called incurable diseases. Looking as they do upon the exterior or the physical, they make the common universal mistake, so far as the material man is concerned, of trying to evaluate the whole infinite cosmogony by a certain number of reactionary occurrences which have thus appeared upon the surface of life. People today are thus hopelessly incarcerated as insane, or are dying from incurable diseases, or are diverted and thwarted from a normal expression of life through the sheer ignorance of those who have authority over them and who are upon the pedestals which they have erected for themselves in the medical and psychiatric fields, yes, even in the pulpits of the churches. In his mission in the Holy Land 2000 years ago, Jesus gave a certain basic concept which, if and when it is carried through by the individual, will free him from these various dogmatic and death-dealing systems as they are found in the material world. This was the concept contained in the expression, "Seek ye the kingdom of heaven which is within." When this concept is resolved into constituents which are understandable by the average person, it will mean simply that this person is only the sum and total of what he can conceive in his own mind, and these conditions, existing as energy wave forms, will automatically link him to either the subversive elements of the astral worlds, with all their sins, iniquities and purgatories, or they will conversely link him to the higher spiritual planes and freedom. He, in finding that freedom, will be in a position from which he can reciprocate and oscillate with the infinite. Chapter 8. Just as was prophesied in the Bible, that in the latter days there would be many false teachers and false prophets, our systems of idolatry have indeed fully justified this prophecy. However, people can be considered largely responsible, to a certain degree, for many of the false gods and teachers who they find about them in their world today. They are continually supporting false political systems which breathe, like the fiery dragons of old, the fires of war, hell, hate and destruction of their fellow men. While even on bended knee, they beseech their God to lead them to victory over their fellow men with the sword and gun. Nor is that particular custom any different from that of the pagan in the many past lifetimes of which these people were a part at that particular time. One of the most common practices in which man has indulged throughout the various periods of history and time and which has been depicted on temple walls and in historical documentaries, are the constant prayers and pleas to the various ruling and dominating spiritual forces or gods, to lead them to victory while beheading their fellow men. Today, men sit at a great peace table, united, nation to nation and rubbing elbows with each other while supposedly threshing out the common problems of international differences, yet the fires of war burn fiercely in many countries. Interracial hatred is a vile virus which has swept over the face of the earth and the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride rampant and roughshod over the civilizations of mankind. To the truth seeker who is personally concerned with the world about him and with his position to it, these things can be fully compromised only when it is remembered in his own mind and in his relationship to the infinite, that this condition is a very necessary part in the evolution of every individual. It can be likened somewhat to the smelting of the iron ore into some useful article which will help man overcome some particular physical difference in the world about him. The millions of souls who have come and gone upon this material planet and who are so linked to it with these psychic bonds through reincarnation, are, in themselves, finding just as we all have, the various additives and the condiments of various spiritual values in the translations and transmissions of energy wave forms as they go to make up our psychic bodies. To be directly concerned with these things in a negative fashion will mean, as has been previously postulated, to create direct linkage to certain reverberatory actions which take place. Therefore, it behooves all constructively minded seekers to approach a realistic philosophy in their evaluation of the position of their fellow men, and this should be done with introspection and with positive bias. The pits of clay which have been dug by the multitudes are quite necessary for them to live in at the present time. They are not much further along in their scale of evolution than they were when they dug themselves burrows in the sides of the hills or even wove themselves little cocoons before emerging into the butterfly state. The sum and total of the different values which they are expressing into their physical lives are aggregates and collections of previous lives which have been found and expressed in numerous elevations of life. These aggregates live and are perpetuated from life to life as a definite collection of personality quotients called, in modern psychological parlance, the ego, ito, id, etc. How then, in view of this light and knowledge, could anyone be deprived of these common instincts when even the function of breathing is an age-old custom, a habit man acquired through evolution? How then, according to genetical science, could all of the constituents of immortality be perpetuated in the chromosomes and genes as they were transferred from male to female? For these are but atomic structures and, in themselves, serve only as a channel and a purpose for the psychic self to regenerate into the physical form. All of the thought patterns of consciousness which formerly supported it in a previous life. To make a sum and total of evaluations at the present moment would indeed be a Herculean task, one not necessarily so contrived that it would serve the individual as a purpose to solve all his differences, for this, too, is an evolutionary pattern of progress. Sufficient to say, therefore, do not be too concerned with your own personal position, either physically or otherwise at the present moment, for you have indeed a greater proportion, a greater equilibrium of spiritual values which you have not as yet called upon or used in this material world and which would not only completely offset these differences but could recreate for you a much better pattern of life. This immediate present, as you are thus so concerned, will be dissolved when full realization, in your future evolutions, can be thus connected and established within the precincts of your own consciousness. In this way, too, will come a proper evaluation, a relationship with the world about you, and it will no longer indulge itself into such fanaticisms and expressions of life which are so commonly found. Nor will you be prone to indulge yourself in various systems of idolatry. Instead, you will find inwardly, through the reaches of your own inner self, the peace, the complacency, the necessary spiritual impetus or drive and all of the necessary ingredients and components which go to make up a life which can be said to be a life of peace and proper relationship with the infinite, and one in which you have placed yourself upon a proper evolutionary path onto that spiraling pathway to the stars. Chapter 9. In the foregoing texts, the reader may now have arrived at some definite points of equation wherein he has established within his mind that considerable importance has been stressed into specific areas of these various configurations in his position to the infinite. In one respect, the term infinite itself can be considered of the utmost importance. The term superconsciousness also may, indeed, at this point, present certain aspects which are not at present fully apparent in the reader's interpolation. Therefore, we shall approach this subject and its context by stating that the much confused term God, or gods, as posed in numerous cultisms, religions and texts in past dispensations of mankind throughout his existence on the planet Earth, can and should be resolved into this one common equation. There is indeed no personal relationship or personal deification involved in the relationship of the infinite to man as the infinite is, in all aspects, just as it should be thoroughly understood, infinite. This means that so far as space is concerned in the understanding of the modern scientist, his belief is a complete delusion. If we could conceive in the conscious mind for an instantaneous moment, the completion of the infinite, we would find that space is infinitely filled, infinitely hard, so far as consciousness was reactive to it. In this sense, therefore, so far as the material dimension is concerned, the term resistance is of the utmost importance, for all known physical laws function from the plane of reactance or resistance. The two words or terms are synonymous in their exact proportion as far as personal identities or interpolations of science are concerned, whether they relate to any expression, as is commonly composed in diametrically opposed forces of gravity, inertia, centripetal or centrifugal forces. These are all common derivatives of reactance or resistance in their various compounded infractions in the materialistic dimension of atomic forms. The infinite therefore must not be divided in any symposium of compounded infractions of atomic forms, but must assume proportions wherein we can see that the so-called space is actually a completely, infinitely filled solid. So far as our proportions of introspection are concerned in traveling through space, means that consciousness at any given time, interprets only a very small fraction of this infinitely filled space in terms of resistance or reactance. Thus, these various reactive factors, as they are so presently concerned with consciousness, are to the then existing concepts the only existing and tangible elements of the infinite. This then explains the common fallacy from which all present dispensations of materialistic sciences are so compounded. The infinite can therefore be said to exist in an infinite number of ways, and as has been previously postulated, as the infinite is energy, that energy moves as it does in complete compatibility within itself as an oscillating motion concerned in a cyclic pattern. These energy wave forms can be either compatible in the relationship of vibration, as they are combined with each other, or they can also be completely or diametrically opposed to each other. We then can reason that such differences must therefore be divided into what is commonly referred to as a dimension, wherein we shall find a large number of suitably vibrating or harmonic wave form structures in cyclic paths, which are resonating in certain common basic fundamental relationships. As such, in these relationships, they are transferring to and from each other the common idiom of that particular dimension so far as its own intelligence is concerned. Dimensions are subsequently, in scientific parlance, subdivided into such other existing combinations of basic structures, called spectrums, such as light, heat and sound. The physical body and the five senses involved in sustaining the physical body on the planet Earth, are all involved with these various subdivisions of spectro-energies in their reactive or resistive forces against these five senses. To approach more thoroughly the concept of the superconsciousness, as has been postulated from the beginning of Christianity and taught by Jesus, such compounds of intelligence as are found in various infinite symposiums which relate to the infinite, can therefore be subtracted and evaluated on a more understandable basis. To look into the infinite, therefore, we shall find that in different forms and posing as aggregates of sympathetic vibrations, certain confluxes of energy are thus compatibly inclined to separate themselves into similar interdimensional forms of relationships. These aggregates thus gather together in nuclear forms, wherein certain species of plant or animal life are constantly repropagated into some specific form upon the planet Earth. As a direct result of oscillating outwardly, as intelligence is impounded inwardly, these various nuclei or cell structures, in a spiritual sense, are thus expressing themselves in such species or forms of plant and animal life, and here again we shall find a larger development of these specific cells or nuclei. In attaining a fuller measure of this development, the species of Homo sapiens, or man, thus begins an evolutionary journey through many lifetimes upon planets similar to the planet Earth. Here again are the cell-like spiritual structures, as they are compounded from such aggregates of past lifetimes. In the symposiums of these numerous and infinite aggregates which have been oscillating compounds from infractions of past animal life species upon the face of the Earth, man will, in direct consequence so far as the individual is concerned, express the various relative constituents of these numerous evolutionary forms as they are so compounded. This will explain why man has a pair of lungs which aerate the bloodstream and various other organs which are necessary, or so he thinks, in conjunctive form with the so-called subconscious to sustain his life which he values very highly. This does not, in any sense of the word, relate man to a form of higher consciousness which we have stressed as the superconsciousness. The superconsciousness relates in a more positive dimensional form certain aggregates of the infinite mind, which in the term infinite, means there is a direct finite creative purpose in all forms of consciousness. The aggregates of the finite consciousness, as they are posed in the infinite mind, also form the same basic spiritual cell structures or nuclei which relate to all the positive essences, not only of earth life existences as they are compounded in all forms and manners of species of life upon the earth, but also compounded in an infinite manner from all extractions of future lifetimes wherein these different nuclei or cell structures of spiritual energy will evolve into higher states of consciousness. Herein enters a great principle, that again, through compatible frequency relationships as they are composed from these infinite cell structures in the superconsciousness, they are oscillating or reflecting outwardly into the material dimensions. Thus they are controlling, through frequency relationships, the various aggregate forms of life as they are found in a suitable and compatible system of relationships. This, then, is the superconsciousness, or the cell of life which is the aggregate, the sum and total of all of the infinite forms of consciousness which can be called the infinite mind. We are not concerned at the present moment with the origin of the infinite mind as it expresses itself infinitely, for this would indeed be far beyond the reach of any present mental consciousness. Sufficient to say, however, that even as we know infinity in the present tense, it is only a small fraction or a small group of compounds of an overall infinity which would indeed stagger the imagination. The superconsciousness, then, can be pictured as a sort of vortex, as a cell wherein an infinite number of waveforms which, in their oscillation, present to infinity the sum and total of all its aggregates. Thus this recreative process, as has been described, constantly reflects and relates itself into an infinite number of other dimensions of relationship. This then, in conjunction with the previously described cell of life as it evolves and aggregates itself from various physical interpolations, becomes that particular sustaining part of the life consciousness which is called the ego. The ego is not in any sense of the word to be confused with the Freudian concept which relates merely to extractions of the subconscious reactionary senses and interpolations of many different reactionary experiences of the past. But, in this common terminology, we are relating the ego to the spiritual form and substance as a finite form of consciousness and oscillating in direct conjunction with the infinite. It can also be pictured that this conjunctive oscillation with the higher self, or the superconsciousness, is the sustaining life force, or the libido which gives the necessary impetus to sustain life through the numerous physical as well as spiritual dimensions. Thus it can be considered the guiding light, or the motivating force behind all life actions as they are concerned individually or collectively with mankind. In this broad sense, therefore, it can be said that any man, whether he is prince, pauper, beggar, merchant or thief, is equally important in the eyes of infinite consciousness, for he is reflecting or expressing only for the moment, in whatever position he finds himself upon such a planet as the Earth or in some other astral dimension, the part of infinity as it was originally compounded in the superconsciousness. This concept may seemingly compose within itself certain opposing doctrines of good and evil as they are so commonly accepted throughout the infinite number of interpolations of mankind upon the planet Earth. The old struggle of good and evil is a primeval cause and sprang from out of the more primitive reaches of man's consciousness upon the Earth. Such forces as good and evil always were and must always remain, merely as compounds of relatively misunderstood forces which move about man in the cosmic ethers. Referring to such terms as cosmic ethers, we are again referring to that seeming void which is actually an infinitely filled solid. Therefore, good and evil must be properly understood, that whatever our position in respect to any movement of infinity, which it is going through in our so-called dimension of time and space, merely means that in our interpretation of this movement of intelligence, as it is either diametrically opposed to or is moving with our present conjunctive position with the infinite, is the determinant element in that which we term good and evil but has no meaning in the personal equivalent so far as infinite consciousness is concerned. Good and evil can therefore be considered, in common abstractions, as the sum and total of the infinite mind and when thoroughly understood, will present to the reader his first important step in his own evolution to destroy the old illusions of good and evil as they have been compounded from such infractions of various pantheologies and cultisms in previous lifetimes. These illusions will be replaced by more basic and fundamental concepts of the infinite, and as these relationships of intelligence move in this seemingly voidless void about him, it remains with each individual to properly relate such movements and interpret them into constructive evaluations and patterns in his own evolution. After the reader or the student has made this first basic and important step, he will have passed over the threshold of the old carnal or lustful world and the many implications of good and evil which it has formerly held for him. Instead, infinity will present to him a never-ending succession of new fabrications and various contexts which he is able to extract from his forward evolution into this timeless and spaceless infinite. Chapter 10.